Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time, and an archive of today's program can be found on our homepage by clicking on the podcast tab. Today's guest is Dr. Chris Camerata, Emergency Department Medical Director at UPMC Hammond.
Welcome to today's Business Spotlight, brought to you by Erie's leader for world-class healthcare, UPMC Hammett. Today, our guest is Dr. Chris Camerata, Medical Director of the UPMC Hammett Emergency Department. Thanks for being with us today, Doctor.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Camerata, can you tell us about your path that led you to UPMC Hammett?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually started my career in medicine really at the age of 16, when I got a certification at the time called Emergency First Responder. It's really a step before being an EMT. I worked kind of in the volunteer fire service with my family at the time. And when I turned 18, I became an EMT. I started working for an ambulance service down in Greensburg, Pennsylvania, and eventually got my paramedic. I worked as a paramedic till I got into medical school. I went to LECOM here in Erie, and then I did residency in Pittsburgh. Stayed down there for a couple years and joined UPMC Hammett as part-time in 2008 and then full-time in 2009, and I've been here ever since.
Dr. Camerata, starting at age 18, this is certainly your life's work.
Yeah, it's been a journey, but it's been a great journey, and I don't think I'd give back a day of it.
Doctor, lots to talk about today, so we're going to go ahead and jump right in. Can you tell us about the new partnership between the City of Erie and UPMC Hammett and your Minutes Matter initiative?
Yeah, so this is an exciting initiative that they rolled out down at UPMC in Pittsburgh, and we're lucky enough to be a part of it as well up here in Erie. And the Minutes Matter campaign is really a campaign to partner with the city to educate the general public about some basic life-saving skills that anybody could do in an emergency situation. And we've really kept it very simple, but I don't want people to mistake the idea that it's simple and think that it does not have a huge impact in the care of a patient in an emergency. These simple things that people do sometimes are the difference between life and death, because those first minutes do matter. So the name is very, very timely, and that minutes do matter, especially the early minutes in somebody's emergency. And, you know, the truth is that emergency personnel are not going to be there right away. So the trained professionals are not the first people at an emergency almost ever. It's almost always going to be the layperson. So the campaign is really aimed at teaching the layperson these simple life-saving skills.
Can you describe some typical accidents where bystanders may be able to step in and help until those medically trained first responders arrive?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've really broken this down into sort of four categories. And, you know, when you think of these emergencies, the common ones that you're going to see would be a patient in cardiac arrest, a patient who has suffered a traumatic injury and has bleeding. Unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of drug overdoses, which is really our third area of focus. And then the fourth one is another very unfortunate sort of side effect of COVID, is that we're seeing a lot of mental health emergencies, I would say exponentially more than we saw before COVID. And so it's raising awareness of the suicide and crisis lifeline that's out there. So those are really the four areas we're focusing on.
Doctor, let's discuss one of those in detail, because we've all heard about the emergence of the opioid overdoses. Quickly administering Narcan can make a big difference in these cases when minutes matter so much, can it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of the few things that I would consider a miracle drug in medicine. And so Narcan, which is widely available now, is a direct antidote for an opiate overdose. Now, you know, when you see somebody that you suspect is an overdose, you might not know if it's an opiate or not. So it begs the question, well, what if I give it to somebody and it's not that? And what makes this such a great medicine is that if you give it to somebody and it's not an opiate overdose, it will not really affect them. So it's not a drug that can really cause much harm, generally speaking. So somebody who is a suspected overdose that you administer this Narcan to, if it is an opiate overdose, they almost immediately respond to it, certainly within the first 60 seconds to, say, 2 minutes. These patients go from not breathing to waking up. And what we see, honestly, is within 5 minutes, they want to leave the hospital. They want to go home. And so it's really one of the most fast-acting drugs you're ever going to see, and truly, truly life-saving. It will basically turn over probably 90% of these overdoses. It will take them from near death to wide awake. There's very few cases of opiate overdose where Narcan does not work. And really, those come down to either the dose of the opiate was extremely high, or one of these synthetic drugs that is very, very potent, or that you just got there too late. But again, at least 90% of these people wake up. The other thing to remember is you can do repeat dosing. So if the first dose doesn't work, you can use another dose. And again, the safety profile of Narcan allows that to happen. So you do not need to be a medical professional to administer this. There's not much worry there. And the over-the-counter version of it is intranasal spray, which is very easy to handle. You just literally spray it up somebody's nose. It absorbs through the soft sort of pliable skin that you have in your nose. So it absorbs the drug very, very well and quickly. And even to this day, I've probably given Narcan, if I had to guess, at least several hundred, if not 1,000 times. And I'm still kind of amazed every time we give it how quickly people wake up. So anyone who is prescribed an opiate, anyone who abuses opiates on, you know, as a recreational drug, really should have access to Narcan, and their loved ones and family members should have access to Narcan.
Doctor, I got to tell you, when you float the number of 1,000 instances of providing Narcan to a patient, that is equally shocking and surprising to me. I never expected that figure to come out of your mouth. I've got to follow that up, though, with another question. You had made a point earlier in the interview of saying that mental health emergencies were on a drastic increase since COVID. Can you elaborate on that? And could you also tell us, Dr. Cameron, about how bystanders can step in one of those situations and make a difference?
Yeah, so it's really, really unfortunate, but the amount of depression, the amount of loneliness that COVID sort of perpetuated is something that at the time, I don't think we had a handle on. As we got further into COVID, we started to recognize, like, hey, this is going to become an issue. We're really isolating. We're really social distancing. And there's a lot of patients out there who were kind of like, you know, sort of teetering going into COVID, but we're doing okay. And unfortunately, I think the isolation had pushed people a little further. Plus, people who, you know, had no depression prior to COVID really started to feel that loneliness and depression. Now, understanding that pre-COVID, there's a lot of depression and patients with suicidal thoughts out there. So we took an already high number of people, and I can just tell you, working in the emergency department and seeing these patients, it's clearly worse than it was prior to COVID. And so what people can do is, the thing we're doing with Minutes Matter is we just want people to understand there's help out there. And one of the things is the Suicide Crisis Lifeline, which you can text 988 and you're connected with somebody immediately who can, you know, sort of be there for you and help you and give you resources. And, you know, but beyond the crisis lifeline, any emergency department out there can help. You bring your family member, you bring yourself in. Even if we do not have psychiatric services at the hospital you come to, we will get you to somewhere that does have it. So there's always that lifeline out there. And there's numerous, you know, resources in every community, and we're lucky to have SafeNet. here in Erie. So there's lots of resources out there. The thing that people can do is educate themselves on the resources that are available and the awareness and self-awareness that you have a problem, you could use some help, and that there's no shame in that. And we're here for you. And we really encourage people to sort of do some, you know, sort of introspection and really understand that it's time for help, because this has become, I think, still doesn't get enough press. This has become a real problem. And I'm hoping that now that we're coming, you know, sort of on the back end of this social distancing and isolation, that this will improve. But people are just going to need help, and the help is out there.
We're speaking with Dr. Chris Camerata, Medical Director of the UPMC Hammond Emergency Department. Doctor, can you tell us a little bit about real-life examples where bystanders help save a life because of their quick action? I noticed on your website yesterday in preparation for the interview, there are some amazing stories out there.
Yeah, so again, these stories always amaze me. And when I get to be a part of one of them, it's life-changing for myself, and not to mention the patient. So examples out there, you know, they're, you know, cardiac arrest happens all the time, of course. And anytime that somebody's in cardiac arrest, I think it's important for us to really think about this. This patient has died. At that point, the patient meets all the criteria for death. And we do CPR and we bring them back. And, you know, the layperson can be a part of that, because early CPR really does save lives. And I've had so many examples over the years of patients that you can't believe that they pulled through. There was a case of a young gentleman at Erie Insurance who they acted so quickly, and they got him to us, and he's back to his normal life. And I'll even think back in my days in Pittsburgh, where I took care of a gentleman who went into cardiac arrest in the stands at Three Rivers Stadium. It took him 45 minutes to get him to us. And I thought to myself, well, there's no way they could be doing adequate CPR coming out of the stands at Three Rivers and trying to get them here. And when the gentleman came in, he was still in cardiac arrest, and we worked on him for a couple minutes, and out of nowhere, he got a pulse back, and he actually woke up and was talking to us as he went to the cath lab to take care of his heart attack. And he survived with absolutely no deficits. So you see these miracles all the time, but none of these happen without immediate CPR. If you have somebody go into cardiac arrest and you don't start CPR immediately, every minute that goes by, you have cells that are dying and brain cells that are dying. And so some of these patients who go without that immediate CPR, they may survive, but they may have significant neurologic deficits. So to try to really save someone, it's that immediate CPR. And the EMTs and paramedics and fire personnel and police, they're not going to be there immediately. They're going to get there, but they're not going to be there immediately. So that's where the layperson comes in. Of course, there's numerous examples of, and this has become very unfortunate with the amount of shootings we see in this country. And there's numerous, you know, you don't have to look far to find examples of lay people getting involved and stopping the bleeding of somebody who has suffered a traumatic injury. Oftentimes it's these gunshot wounds that we're seeing, but even, you know, other injuries that people have, like, you know, vehicle accidents and things like that. My feeling has always been, and I've always impressed this upon anyone that I've had the opportunity to teach, like EMTs, paramedics, residents, you know, I always will say nobody should ever die from bleeding if we're there. Nobody. We should be able to stop almost every bleeding, especially on the extremities. So if this person has a gunshot wound to their leg or their arm, they should never, ever die from that bleeding. We should be able to stop that bleeding. It might not be easy, but we should be able to stop it. We should know the basics of stopping bleeding, which is direct pressure, pack the wound, apply a tourniquet. The tourniquets are huge. When I was training back in the early 90s to become an EMT, tourniquets were not thought of as, they were kind of taboo in a way, because we thought maybe if you put them on that they might lose their limb. And what we've learned, and really the it was Desert Storm that was the first thing to teach us this. And then, you know, unfortunately, these military conflicts since then, we get a lot of information about traumatic injury from military conflict. And what we learned was tourniquets not only aren't necessarily dangerous, but they are absolutely life-saving. So applying a tourniquet is very straightforward. Now, if you've never seen one, you might not know what to do with it. Again, this Minutes Matter campaign, that's one of the things that we show people. This is what a tourniquet looks like. This is how you put it on. Once you see it once, you're not going to forget. And if you're doing things like that, you will save lives. Again, you know, for the most part, nobody should die of bleeding externally. And anybody can do it. Anybody can stop that bleeding.
Dr. Camerata, UPMC Hammett, I understand there'll be at several events throughout our community this summer emphasizing the Minutes Matter initiative. Can you tell us about some of those upcoming events?
Yeah, we actually just had a few pass. We were at some of the Seawolves games and Harbor Creek Township's big trucks. But we're also going to be at the Erie Zoo for the National Senior Health and Fitness Day on the 31st. And then we will be attending the 814 Concert Series presented by the UPMC Health Plan throughout the summer months. And there will be various times, and these are events they're going to set up at six different neighborhood parks that will set up these educational, you know, sessions to try to get out to the public. And there's still more in the works. I would say that the majority of our large events that we're going to have over the summers, these wonderful events we have in Erie, look for the Minutes Matter campaign, because we will likely be there.
Are there classes offered in addition to the events that you mentioned?
Yeah, so there is always available classes on CPR training, first aid training. A lot of that is done through a lot of community partners, you know, EmergiCare being one of them. They do a lot of education to the public. And UPMC is working on a campaign to bring this education to the public. One of the things that I've noticed over the years is that if you take CPR, for example, there's a lot of people who maybe don't have the time to dedicate to become truly certified, to sit through an entire class and become certified, because, you know, we all have busy lives. And one of the things I really like about the Minutes Matter campaign is it just is teaching the important aspects of it. Like when it comes to cardiac arrest, for example, it's chest compressions. You can teach somebody chest compressions in 2 to 3 minutes, literally. And so I think we finally recognize that while these classes, like, you know, the CPR through American Heart Association, they're excellent classes. And if people can become certified, they'll certainly have a better knowledge and maybe hone their skills a little better. But that doesn't fit into some people's very busy lives. So we want to make sure we bridge that gap. And there's a way to learn just the essentials. And that's really what we're focused on. Get people to understand the essentials. Teach it to them quickly. That way they at least have an understanding and, you know, can act, you know, when these minutes matter.
Can you tell us where we can all learn more about the Minutes Matter initiative?
Yeah, the easiest way would be go to the website, which is minutesmatter.upmc.com. There's a lot of information on there. It'll be updated with events, and anything that we're talking about with the Minutes Matter campaign is in better detail on that website.
And Doctor, I've got to ask you about this because I was guilty. I did not know about the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. Can you tell us about this service?
Yeah, so you're not alone. It turns out that probably that they've actually looked at this. About 77% of people have not heard of the Lifeline. This is a service that's available really nationally where you can text 988 and you will be connected with a suicide and crisis counselor who will then, you know, be a resource for you, be able to give you advice, get you hooked up with resources. And, you know, it's really just something everybody should be aware of. And it's available, obviously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Let's pivot now to talking about this summer and summer holidays being obviously just right around the corner. Can you discuss summertime emergencies that you see probably way too much of at the UPMC Hammett emergency room, and maybe discuss some preventative measures that we can all remember this summer?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So, probably the most common one with summertime, and it's no surprise, are heat-related emergencies. We'll see heat-related emergencies, especially when the temperature gets up and the humidity's up, and then there's events going on at the same time. It's kind of a recipe for heat-related emergencies. And so, those come in basically three basic types. There's heat cramps. That's going to be your first sign that the heat is getting to you, the muscles cramp, a little more than you would expect, depending on what you're doing. That's the first way of your body telling you, listen, you need to start hydrating, you need to cool down. If you don't listen, you're going to end up with heat exhaustion. This is the person who's got profuse sweating, nausea, vomiting, could even be a little bit confused. Those patients need taken out of the heat immediately. They need cooled down actively. They need hydrated actively. And if that progresses, you end up with heat stroke. And heat stroke is a very serious emergency. This is life-threatening. These patients actually have dry skin at this point. They cannot even perspire anymore. They universally have an altered mental status and can even be in coma. They tend to have extremely high core temperatures. And this is a true medical emergency. Those people need rapidly cooled. They need brought out of the heat immediately. And they absolutely need to be at the emergency department as this is a life-threatening heat emergency. So, we see heat-related emergencies a lot, really starting around this time of year, but certainly through those midsummer months. So that's probably the number one thing. The other thing I think everybody should be cognizant of is insect bites, bee stings. Some people do not know they're allergic. Some people do know they're allergic, but don't unfortunately take the right precautions. If you have an allergy to bee stings, you should absolutely have an EpiPen within reach at all times. Bee sting, true anaphylaxis to bee stings is absolutely life-threatening and very quickly life-threatening. I mentioned how Narcan is one of those miracle drugs where you see it work so quickly and you're always amazed. An EpiPen is the same way. You will have somebody that gets stung by a bee who has a terrible anaphylactic reaction. And if you administer that EpiPen, they will almost immediately get better. And so I always encourage patients with known allergies to insect bites and especially bee stings, make sure you have a couple EpiPens. You should keep one, if you carry like a purse, it should be in your purse. If you're driving your car, it should be in your glove box. You always want one to be close and you want your family and friends to know where it's at. So, that's another one that's going to start ramping up here very quickly is anaphylaxis to stings. Of course, trauma-related injuries go up in the summer. Everyone's more active. We're out there. We're doing things. We're riding motorcycles. We're, just doing lots of different activities. So every trauma-related injury goes up in the summer. Our trauma service becomes busier in the summer. It's our, we always refer to it as trauma season because we know those injuries are coming. So just be aware that traumatic injuries go up. And again, part of that Minutes Matter campaign is control of bleeding. Just, have some basic skills there. So if you or somebody you're with or somebody you come across has a traumatic injury with significant bleeding, you know how to intervene. And then probably the last one worth mentioning is, especially with Erie, is swimming-related injuries and emergencies and drownings. Obviously, everyone opens up their pool, and we start going to the lake. Really, the way to intervene here is more of a preventative approach, understanding your swimming ability, keeping an eye on your children, making sure that, if you're at a, say, a pool or at the lake, you know where the lifeguards are, because we will see, unfortunately, swimming-related emergencies. So really the most important thing somebody can do is just have awareness and be more preventative.
I've recently learned that the UPMC Hammond Emergency Department is the only accredited trauma center in Erie. Why is this so important?
Well, to be a trauma center in this area, you got to realize that the closest ones outside of Erie are Cleveland, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh. And we all know how far that can be. So we have what we refer to as a very large catchment area. patients are going to come here for their care. And the reason it matters is because we have 24-hour in-house trauma surgeons. These surgeons are specifically trained in the treatment of traumatic injury, and they're all critical care trained too. So they all have the ability to round in an ICU and take care of critically ill patients. So they're trauma slash critical care, and they're in-house 24 hours a day. Secondly, our emergency department and emergency physicians like myself, with working in the emergency department at a trauma center, you see these injuries all the time. So there's multiple personnel within the facility that do this all the time. We see several thousand trauma patients a year, and a practice makes perfect. So when you come to a trauma center, I always like to say you're going to get this. We do the same thing every time. We follow the protocol. We don't miss things. And, trauma centers are accredited by what's called the Pennsylvania Trauma Systems Foundation, and they're very strict standards. You have to meet very strict standards to be a trauma center. So having all of these things available is one of them. So it's not just the trauma surgeon, but it's orthopedics, it's neurosurgery, and various other subspecialties that we have to have. So it's really comprehensive care. And we're really proud of our trauma center. We stand up to the trauma centers in all the big cities, and we have really good outcomes, and we have some very good providers.
Dr. Camerata, before we depart, first off, thank you so much for your time. Any final thoughts about the City of Erie and the amazing UPMC Hammett's Minutes Matter initiative that you laid out so well? Or last thoughts on the summertime safety measures we all need to keep in mind?
Yeah, we're really proud to partner with the City of Erie. The mayor has been very supportive of this, and we're really happy to see that. He's been very enthusiastic about this idea. And we really want to reach, obviously not just the City of Erie, we want the whole area, but having the City of Erie as a partner really helps us get the message out. And when it comes to the summertime, enjoy yourself, but please be aware of your surroundings. Don't be afraid to step in and help when somebody's in need. These minutes matter, and I do want somebody to remember you got to call 911. But then there are these simple things, this, CPR, bleeding control, Narcan administration, helping somebody with a mental health crisis. These are things that we all can do. And I just want everyone to have awareness of it, and don't be afraid to help. And we're here for you, and we're excited about getting the message out.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again next week as Dr. Ralph Ford, Chancellor at Penn State Barron, is in the Business Spotlight.